Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Vav. Again, it's pretty much exclusively Agadat HaGemara, mostly about David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, and we're going to continue along the theme that we started yesterday about people who, it seems if you read Tanakh, that they sinned, but according to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Yom Rav Yonah's son, they didn't actually sin. That Kala Omer, that these people were Chalte, is Eino El Atoa. So we're going to discuss whether Shmuel's sons really took bribes and really perverted justice, whether David HaMelech really sinned sleeping with Bathsheba, whether David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hara and sinned in that way, whether Shlomo HaMelech really started practicing Avodah Zarah after marrying the Bas Paro and sinned in that way, and whether Yoshio HaMelech sinned in his early years. So all these people are going to discuss whether or not they in fact sinned. So we are holding on Nun Hei Amud Beis, last line on the page. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonah's son. Kala Omer B'nei Shmuel Chatu Einu El Atoa. Anyone who says that the B'nei Shmuel sinned is mistaken. Shneamar, because the Pasuk says, Vayihi Kasher Zakan Shmuel Vayasemes Benav Shoftim Yisrael. That when Shmuel got old, he appointed his children to be Shoftim over Klal Yisrael. V'lo Halchu Banav B'drachav, and his children did not follow in his ways. So we darshan from there. What does it mean they didn't follow in his ways? B'drachav Utlo Halchu Michtanami Lo Chatu. All the pasuk says they weren't like Shmuel exactly, so that's not such a terrible insult to say that they weren't quite like Shmuel. They weren't quite like Shmuel, but they also weren't sinners. Elamani Mekayim. But then, what do I do with the next part of the pasuk? Right after it says V'lohalchu banu bidrachav, the pasuk says Vayitu achrei abetz avichu shochad v'yatu mishpat, that they took bribes, and so what do we do with that? Vayitu achrei abetz shelo asu k'maisa avihem. It just means that they didn't do like their father. In what way? Shayish Shmuel at Tzadik mechazer b'kol mekom l'Yisrael v'danosam ba'areihem. Shmuel HaTzadik would go around, he would have a busy travel schedule, he would go to all the different places, all the different cities in Eretz Yisrael, and he would judge people in their own cities, in their hometowns. Shneemar v'halach midei shana b'shana v'sivei beisal v'agilgol v'amitzvah v'shafat es Yisrael, that he would go year by year, he would go all to all these different places, to beisal, gilgal, mitzvah, and he would judge Klal Yisrael there. V'heim lo asukein, but his children didn't do that. El Yashvu Bahrein, they would stay home in their cities, and everyone would have to come to them. And the reason they would do this, not because they were averse to traveling, but rather Kedei L'Harbo Schar L'Chazanein L'Sofrei, and it was a way of nepotism, it was a way of giving extra business to their Chazanim and their Sofrim, so that they wouldn't, instead of spreading the wealth by going to all these places where they would require a support staff in the court, in all the different places, and all the support staff would be able to benefit from having the cases going on in all these different places, they had their own people that benefited from them staying at home. So that was the problem. But it's not that they actually did the avera of taking any bribes. Says the Gemara Ketanayim, maybe this in fact is machlokas Tanayim, whether they really sinned or didn't sin. Pasuk says Vayitu Achrei Abetza, that they took bribes. Remeir Omer Chelkom Shalu B'Piem. So Remeir says what that means is that not that they actually took bribes, but that they asked for their chelek explicitly. What chelek? Says Rashi, Meiser Rishon Aroylem Shalvim Hayu Shalu B'Piem. They happened to have been Levim, so they were entitled to Meiser Rishon. But instead of waiting for people to give them Meiser Rishon, they would ask for the Meiser Rishon from people. And Mitoch Shoyu Gedolei Ador V'Shovtim Lo Yomon. And because these were very important political figures, these were the children of Shmuel, so when the children of Shmuel come and ask you for Maisa Rishon, you're going to give them the Maisa Rishon, you're going to feel that obligated to give them the Maisa Rishon, and therefore other Levim who really needed it much more than the Bnei Shmuel needed it, didn't get the Maisa Rishon, and they would struggle. So Rameir's opinion clearly is not that they took bribes, but that they engaged in this inappropriate behavior of asking for Maaser Rishon. But other than that, they didn't do anything wrong. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Meloi Hitilu al Balei Batim, that they would be matil on Balei Batim, what does this mean? That they would take, Rashi doesn't say over here, I don't remember. Meloi Hitilu al Balei Batim, anyone got that?
Their job, they merchandise the householders.
They are right. So they always did business with different Balei Batim, and because they did business with all these different sorts of Balei Batim, there was a sense of obligation toward them. So when they would have a din Torah in front of them, they would favor those Balei Batim. It's very hard to see people that you engage in business with on a consistent basis to see them in an objective point of view. But they're judges, and they're supposed to see people completely objectively. So they didn't see them completely objectively. So that was their problem. But again, it's not not shochad per se. They didn't take betza. They didn't take any bribes. But rather, it was just that they didn't see things as clearly as they should have because they were engaged in other side businesses. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kupa Yisera Shal Meiser Natlu Bezroa. That Rabbi Akiva says, as Rashi explains, that Kupa Yisera, they took more than they deserved of Meiser, and they took it forcefully. Normally, Meiser, you're supposed to wait till they give it to you, but they took it forcefully. Rabbi Yossi Omer Matanos Natlu Bezroa. That they took Matanos. Matanos, Rashi says, first pshat refers to Zroa L'Chayayim V'keva, the Matnos Kuhuna that come from an animal that someone shechs. They took those Matnos Kuhuna from people forcefully. Now, they're not deserving of Matnos Kuhuna at all. They weren't Kohanim, they were Levim. So that was completely inappropriate. Then Rashi says a different pshat that maybe it wasn't Matnos Kuhuna, maybe it was in fact Matnos Levia. Lishnachrina Matnos Levia, Kagon Meiser, Ukraksiv, Vinasan the Kohen, Vidarshinan, Veloshe Yitol Meatzmo. Pasuk says, Vinasan the Kohen, and not that they should take it themselves. Vishkita Skulin, Parakazrov, Vuadin the Kol Matnos Kuhuna Velevia. It's not only Matnos Kuhuna, the Matnos Levia also. So they're not supposed to take Bezroa. So that's what they did wrong, that they took things that didn't belong to them. Anyone who says that David sinned is also making a big mistake. That David was always had Hashem with him. Is it possible that a chet was bal yado, that he did this avera and the shechina was still with him? Why is that so hard to believe? Maybe he didn't avera. So everyone does avera. So people do avera sometimes. Why is it so difficult to believe that he didn't avera and shechina imo? So the Gemara in Sota says in Sota Chaval, if he gil a precious drachim nitzel mikulam zetam lchachem desalkle shmeitza libedi hilchasa. And Rashi over there says that if a person is zochet to the madrega that ein chet that ein chet baliyado, meaning that if a chet is baliyado, then he's not going to be halacha kamoso. Meaning the shechina with him refers to the fact that we always paskin like him. So we're only going to paskin like somebody if ein chet baliyado. This is how the Anaf Yosef explains. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says in Sadi Gimel and Beis, Vashem Imo, that what does it mean Hashem was with David? Shalacha Kamosa Bekol Makom. That we always paskin like David. So if we always paskin like David, it can't be the Chet Bali Yada, because that's what the Gemara in Sota says, that the way to end up where we always paskin like somebody is when there's no Chet that's Bali Yada. So that's what the Gemara is asking. How could it be that Chet Bali Yada and Shechina Imo, Elamani Mekai Madua Bazisa Svar Hashem Nasos? So what do we do with the pasuk where it says explicitly that Nasan Navi challenges David? Why are you mevaza the Dvar Hashem to do this bad thing? Lasos hara beinai asuri achiti ikisa becharav, etc. And he goes through exactly what he did. The pasuk continues vaiter. You killed Orya ve'sishto lekachta l'chali isha vosarak the becharav bnei Amon. So it's very clear accusation against David Amel. So how can you say that he didn't sin? So says the Gemara shebikesh lasos v'lo asa. Doesn't mean that he actually sinned, but he intended to sin, and he didn't do it in the end. Says Rashi, Shebikesh Lishkovi Makodim Shekibla Get. He wanted to lie with her before she ever received the get. What kind of get? Why was she receiving a get? So Rashi explains, Sheyabalu Shaleach Lamin Amalchama, that the husband would send her a get from the battlefront, Shem Yamus, so that if he were to die, Loti Zakik Liibum, that she shouldn't require Yibum, because they didn't have any children. Or another possibility is he would send a get because if he would get killed and they wouldn't have evidence to his death, she would become an aguna because no one would ever know if he's really dead or not. Oh, another possibility, Yeshavui. The other possibility is Yeshavui, that he's going to be captured in war. So he'll still be alive, she'll still be in Eshesh, and she'll be in Aguna, because he's going to be captured by the enemy, and he's never coming home. So for those three possibilities, either that he will die and they'll know about it, but there's going to be a Yibum situation that's going to be difficult to get through, or he'll die and no one will know about it, or he won't die, but he'll just be captured. For those three possibilities, they made a rule that called Yotzei Milchamas Beis David, that anyone who went out to fight a war from the Milchamas Beis David would have to get Krisus Kosev Leishto, would have to write a get for their wives first. So David HaMelech was Mevakish to sleep with her prior to her receiving the get. So that's what it means that he sinned, but not that he really sinned. Amar Rav, Rebbe Da'asi Mi David, Mahapich V'Darish B'Schusei David. So Rav just notes that, yeah, Rebbe, who comes from the base David, he's always looking for the Zuchus of David HaMelech. How so? Madua Bazisa Tzvar Hashem Laso Sarah. How does Rebbe interpret this pasuk? Nasan HaNavi is chastising David. Why did you do this bad thing? Rebbe Omer Meshuna Ra'azu Mikol Ra'osha B'Torah. This Ra'a is different. The way it's presented, the way the Torah phrases it is different than every other time in the Torah used the term ra'a. Shekol ra'a shepetorah k'siv b'hu vayas. Every other time it says ra'a, it's vayas hara b'enei Hashem, that someone did bad in the eyes of Hashem. Kan k'siv la'asos. And over here it doesn't say vayas, it says la'asos, which implies shebikesh la'asos v'lo asa, that he intended to do but he didn't actually do. So why does Rebbe learn the pasuk that way? Because he's trying to defend his own lineage. He's trying to defend David HaMelech, because Rebbe comes from the base David. So the Achronim in the back of the Gemara point out, the Rabbi Elazar Landau and Maritz Chayus both point out that there is a Yerushalmi in the ninth parak of Klayim, where the Yerushalmi says, Amar Rebbe, I asa Rav Huna anam mosav leila el mina'i. If Rav Huna comes to visit me, I'm going to sit him in a more prominent seat than mine, di ihu mi Yehuda va'anami binyamin. Because he comes from Yehuda and I only come from Binyamin. Now Binyamin is obviously not the Malchus based David. So it seems to be a steer in the Bavli Yerushalmi, because the Bavli over here says that Rebbe comes from the Malchus based David. Yerushalmi says that he doesn't. So both Rabbi Elazar Landau and Maritz Chayis give the same answer, that probably when we say that he comes from the base David, it means Minikevos Habaos Mi Beis David, that on his mother's side he's from the base David, but Einochinami he's actually from the, in terms of his Yichus on his father's side, he's actually from Binyamin. But just the fact that the mother's side of the family from the base David is enough of a reason to want to be nota to look favorably at David HaMelech. Also, one of the Achronim, the Alkotar Yoshuni, wonders why is it Mahapech v'Darish b'Zchusei to David? Just say Darish b'Zchusei to David. What's Mahapech? What is the Lashon Mahapech, that he turns something around? So the Yalkutar Gershuni explains that it was a Chilul Hashem in the eyes of everybody that the Melech Yisrael, the David Melech Yisrael, was taking this woman. So Nasan Navi said, you should know that what you did is Chilul Hashem, and you're Chayv Misa for Chilul Hashem. It's a terrible, terrible thing. The Gemara said, that's what the Gemara says, Baba Kam Daf Nunna, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Medaktikim and Tzadikim, Kuchut HaSahara. So Rebbe was Mehapich, B'Dorish B'Zchusei. Rebbe said, no, Adrabba, look at what a Tzadik he was, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Medaktikim, Kuchut HaSahara. Meaning is that they're looking at the same information, but you can look at it from two perspectives. One is, because he was a tzaddik, that's why this was so terrible, because it became a greater chilul Hashem when done by a tzaddik. But Rebbe said, no, the fact that it was so terrible shows what a great tzaddik he was. And that's what you should emphasize. He obviously must have been a very great tzaddik if HaKadosh Baruch Hu took this so seriously, if he was a mahapech himo kechot hasara. So that's the mahapech b'zuchusei. So anyway, so that's how Rebbe interpreted the pasuk, shebikesh lasos, but he didn't actually do it. Vayter reading the psukim, as Uriah Achiti Kisa Bacharev, that you killed Uriah Achiti. So what does that mean? Shailach Aladona B'Sanhedrin V'Lodanta, that you should have taken him and been done him in Sanhedrin, and you didn't do it, you just had him killed off. Fractosos, wait a second, the Gemara is going to say later on this Amud in a few lines from now, that Uriah Achiti was married B'Malchus. So if he was married B'Malchus, you really have to be done and married B'Malchus in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says Megillah Yudalar and Beis, by Naval, who's married B'Malchus, that lo b'ilim idayne, that you don't need any din Torah, you just kill him. So why over here, Mar b'malchus, is it a problem that Uriah didn't get a proper din in the Sanhedrin? So it says Tosfos Yeshlomer Devadai Torah Ledona Veleda Imhu Mar b'malchus. You certainly need a din Torah to verify that he is Mar b'malchus. Avalayin bedina velasos halanas din ulahamtin ad lemachar. But all of the extras that we add in of looking extra carefully into whether there's any zuchus that we could be melamed on him, waiting till the next day before we kill him. All these different things that we do in order to be tzilua eda, in order to stay out of killing people, ain't sarach. That's what we don't need, and that's what we're saying that he should have been done in Sanhedrin to verify that he was married b'malchus. But once you verify that he's married Malchus, then you can do whatever you want. Back in the Gemara, Darshin the Psukim, and Nasan Navi tells David, and you took his wife for a wife for yourself. So Rabbi Darshin's Likuchin Yesh Lechaba, that you have kiddushin with her, meaning that the kiddushin is going to be valid kiddushin because she already did receive her get. So you have Tfisas kiddushin. She's not an Eishes Ish. Frekt Tosfos Avogav Dafilu Chatanami. Well, even if he did sin with her, he has tefisas kiddushin k'daha anusa haisa, because she was anusa. And when a woman is an anusa, v'shari lebal, the halacha is, unless a woman is married to a kohen, if a woman is married to a Yisrael, and nebuch, she becomes an anusa, someone rapes her, so she's mutaris lebal, and the halacha is that whenever she's mutaris lebal, she's mutaris lebal, that the isra lebal and lebal go hand in hand. If she's mutaris to one of them, she's got to be mutaris to the other one. That's how Tosfos assumes in Maseches Ksuvos and Maseches Sanhedrin, when Tosfos questions the psak of Rabbeinu Tam, where the Rabbeinu Tam had a psak where a married woman slept with a guy, and then the guy converted. So Rabbeinu Tam said she's muteris to the boel. She's muteris to the boel. So the Tosfos says, how could she be muteris to the boel? Doesn't the bia with the akum aser her labaila? So if it asers her labaila, she can't possibly be muteris. Meaning, what does it mean she's muteris to the boel? If that guy converts, she could marry him. If that guy converts, she could marry him. So how could that be? If she's asur to the boel, she's got to be asur to the boel. There's an assumption in the Rishonim that the two go hand in hand. So therefore, Tosfos here says she's going to be muteris to her husband because it's considered ones what David did to her. So even if David was wrong, even if she was Neshes Ish, he has no tefisas kiddushin. She's muteris to her husband. Mimela, she could still have kiddushin with David because she's going to be muteris to the boel. So he said, nevertheless, likuchin yesh lecha ba mashma lo hayilacha ba avera. Likuchin yesh lecha ba makes it sound like that he didn't really do an avera. That's the emphasis. Not that likuchin yesh lecha, the fact that there's tefisas kiddushin shows that he didn't do an avera. The lashon of likuchin yesh lecha ba makes it sound like he didn't do an avera. How could we say this about David HaMelech, that it was anus, that he raped Bathsheba? That you're going to say such a thing about David HaMelech? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Samach Tesam Beis tells us that Bathsheba at the time was 8 years old, and the halacha is pitui ketana ones, that when a girl who's a ketana, even if she says that she's okay with it and she's a willing participant in the bia, it's still halachically defined as onus. That's probably what Tosfos is referring to, that anyway it's considered an onus by virtue of her age, not that it was a direct onus. I don't know if that makes you feel any better, but still that's how the Gemara Sanhedrin says. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani said in the name of Rav Yonasan, why was she not in the Eishes Ish? Because Kol Yotzei L'Melchamas Beis David get Krisus L'Ishtav. Anyone who went out L'Melchamas Beis David would always write a get to their wives first. This is a major discussion Rashi and Tosfos in Maseches Ksuvos and Maseches Gittin, and a summary of it over here in our Tosfos. Get Krisus Kosev L'Ishtav. What does it mean? They would write a get to their wives. Pirush Rashi Al Tanai. They would give a get Al Tanai. That if he were to die in the war, that the get should be chal right now. But we have to say, according to Rashi, is the afal gav to Urya b'mina melchama. Even though Urya did come back from the war, he had a whole conversation with David. Hatanai haya sheim lo yashuv b'sof hamelchama sheyget. The tanai must have not been that if he ever comes back from the war, that it's not going to be a good get, because he did come back. He had a conversation with David before he was sent back out. So it must be that it's a lo yashuv b'sof hamelchama that it's going to be a get. Achasha the tanai b'misha achzu mahi ba'osra yamim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Harei Keishas Ish L'Chol Devareha. Vim Kein Rabbi Yehuda Yisei Eishas Ish Gemura. But Frek tells us, the Gemara in Gittin asks, what happens in between the time that he gives this get al Tanai and the actual end of the war? What's her status during that window of time? Rabbi Yehuda holds, you have to treat her like a full-fledged Eishas Ish. So then how does that justify David's behavior? He slept with her during that time. So isn't she an Eishas Ish? V'nir L'Rabbeinu Tam Shei Megarsh L'Gamri B'lo Shum Tanai. So says Rabbeinu Tam, you have to say no out like Rashi. There was no Tanai attached to this get. A guy would give a Kol Yotzei L'Mechamis Beis David, would give a get Krisus L'Ishto, get Krisus, without any strings attached. V'ad Amrin Ba'azov, Mutav Shiva L'Adam Safek Yesh Zish, V'al Yad And I, what does the Gemara say in Bamitzia? That it's better to sleep with a Safek Yesh Zish than to embarrass someone publicly. And we know that from David, who slept with a Safek Yesh Zish. How could you call it a Safek Yesh Zish if he gave her a full-fledged get? So Karila Safek Yesh Zish, if he show you Megarshim Bitzina, V'olam Surum Shiyesh Zish. This tells the Shitas of all of Shas that it's called a Safek Yesh Zish, not because she's really a Safek Yesh Zish. She was not an Yesh Zish at all. She received a get. But since they gave these gittin privately in a way that they didn't make a whole public spectacle of it, so for klape the world, she's a Safek Yesh Zish. No one knows if she really divorced or she not, because they wouldn't get divorced too publicly. The reason they did that is in case he comes back from war, he would like for her to still be single. So he would leave it and say he would give her a get in such a way that not everybody would know about it right away, hoping that that she won't have too many suitors while he's gone. So anyway, back to the Gemara. Shenemar, how do I know that get krisus kosev lishto when you went out to Melchamas Beis David? Because when David's father Yishai sent David to go check on his brothers in the battlefront, so ve'esaseres, that was with the battle against Goliath, when David HaMelech happened to show up at the battlefield and they were looking for someone to fight Goliath, and David said, hey, I'll give it a try, and they all laughed at him and they mocked him. Well, who are you? You're going to fight Goliath? And then sure enough, they let him give it a try, and that was the beginning of a long and very illustrious military career. But how did he end up in the battlefield in the first place? So Yishai told David, take these 10 cheeses and bring them different foods, bring them to the Saraya Elef, and go check on your brothers, see how they're doing. And you should take their aruvasam. So my aruvasam, what does it mean, aruvasam? You should take from them. So Tani Rav Yosef, Dvarim Amurav, Meda Levina. Aruvasam means something that mixes between husband and wife, meaning a get. And then the accusation of Nasa, now going back to our original pasuk, where Nasa and Navi accuses David of all that he did wrong with Uriah. So he says, and you killed Uriah b'cherev b'nei Amon, using the swords of b'nei Amon. Macher b'nei Amon iatanenu shalav, af Uriah achiti iatanenu shalav. So Rabbi darshens this also, that just like cherev b'nei Amon you're not going to be punished for, so too what you did with Uriah achiti, you're also not going to be punished for killing Uriah Achiti. My taima, why are you not punished for it? Mari b'malchus hava, because Uriah was mari b'malchus. How so? Da'amaleva, Adoni Yoav, Avde Adoni, al tnei asad lefonim. Because he says that Adoni Yoav and Avde Adoni are in the battlefield and they need me back. Meaning Uriah didn't want to go home. David tried to send Uriah home. David tried to say, go back to your wife. But Uriah said, no, I'm a soldier. There are people waiting for me in the battlefield. I'm not interested in going home. But how did he refer to it? Adoni Yoav. So Rashi says, that's lava rachara, to be mekabel maros acherim b'fnei ha-melech. You're talking to the melech, you don't call somebody else Adoni when you're talking to the melech. That was the morid b'malchus. Milchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Reshon and Zayin says, in the name of Mavri Yabok, that when a person is davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say you're davening for your father, you're davening for your Rebbe, you should never say in your tefillah Adoni Avi or Adoni Rabbi, because Neged Hashem Yisbarach, there's no one that's an Adon except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Marid B'malchus, based on this Gemara, that Ori Achiti was considered a Marid B'malchus because he said Adoni Yoav. That's what the Birkei Yosef writes in Reish Mem, Ein Gavos Lefnei HaMakom. That in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no great titles of prestige and honor. There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's only the Melech Malchei HaMlachim. Amar Rav, second wide line. Amar Rav, Ki Me'anta B'David, Lo Mishkachas Be'bar Midu'oria. If you look at David's life, you won't find any other averos except for what he did. You won't find any other wrongdoing except for this story with Uriah. Dechsiv, because the pasuk says Rak Bidvar Uriah Achiti. It says only Bidvar Uriah Achiti. That's all he did wrong. Abayi Kashisha Rami Derava Derav. Abayi Kashisha asked the stira in Rav. Miyam Rav Hachi. Did Rav really say this, that the only thing that he ever did wrong is Bidvar Uriah Achiti? Vam Rav Kibal David Lashon Hara. But didn't Rav say that David was also Mekabel Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth? Which we'll see in a second. So Kasha, it's Taka Kasha, it's a Stira in Rav. Gufa, what's this about David being mekabel lashon hara? Rav Amar kibel David lashon hara dechsiv, because the pasuk says vayomer lo amelech efahu vayomer tziva lamelech hinehu beis machir ben amiel below davar. That Tziva said about Mephibosheth that Mephibosheth is not here, he's below Dover. And Rashi said, below Dover, Eino Chacham B'Torah, that he doesn't know any Torah, he's a nobody. Uksiv, but the Pasuk says, V'yishlach HaMelech V'yikacheu Mibeis Machir Ben Amiel, below Dover, that David sent for him, and he found him, and he found that he was a Chacham B'Torah, that he was actually quite knowledgeable in Torah. So Michti, Chazi D'Shikru, so right off the bat, he sees that whatever Tziva is saying about Mephibosheth is not true. Tziva was an evident of Mephibosheth. Important background over here. Mephibosheth was a grandson of Shaul HaMelech. Shaul's son was Yehonah's son. Yehonah's son and David were best of friends. So even though Shaul was always after David to kill him, David, and it made no sense. That's why it was Ava Sheina Tuliya B'David. The ultimate Ava is the Ava between David and Yehonah's son. It made no sense for them to be friends with each other because Shaul was the king and then David was going to be the next king. Normally, when a king dies, the next king is going to be his son. So if anything, they should have been adversaries. They should have been both vying for the Malchus. And yet they were best of friends. It was complete avashay netliya b'davar. One of the things that David told Yehonah's son is that if he's successful, and if anything were to happen to Yehonah's son, he's going to watch out for his family, that he'll take care of his kid. It was a bris avos that David had with Yehonah's son to take care of Mephibosheth. After a long time, after David finally got settled and everything was finally, the country was running smoothly, he sought out Mephibosheth. And after he put down rebellions and everything else, he sought out Mephibosheth to see what he was up to and to try to take care of him. Now, he was looking for him, he wasn't easy to find. Mephibosheth was a cripple, and cripples in general didn't show up to David's palace because David didn't like, David. The Psukim tells David didn't like to have crippled people. He had a problem with it on some level. What was his problem? So that's what some of the Mepharshim say. Is that when he fought with the Plishtim, when he fought against the Palestinians, the Plishtim, the current Palestinians aren't actually from the Plishtim, but the name comes, it's the translation, that's where they got the name from. But when he fought with the Plishtim would do all sorts of war crimes, and one of the war crimes that they did was that they would hide behind defenseless people. So they would go in front of, when they would fight on the battlefield, they would put crippled people in the front lines so that David would have to kill these Nebuchadnezzar defenseless crippled people in order to get to the nothing changes in terms of the tactics that our enemies use. So David, that haunted David so much, he couldn't bear to see crippled people. So Mephibosheth never showed up to go visit David. Tziva, the Evan of Mephibosheth, was reporting to David what Mephibosheth was up to. So the first thing he tells him is that Mephibosheth is a complete Namaritz of boor. And then David HaMelech sees him and he's a Talmud Chacham. So right away he knows that Tziva's telling lies. And nevertheless, Ki hadar al shini lave, when Tziva Vayter tells him more lies, tells him lashon hara, my time to kibble minei. Why in the world would David have accepted that from Tziva? Right, when Tziva says about Mephibosheth, when David was running from Avshalom, so he told him that Mephibosheth doesn't support you. He really wants Avshalom to win, or he wants to take the malchus for himself. He's hoping that he could reinstate his own family's malchus. So why would David be mekabel that? So that was the aver of being mekabel lashon hara. Tchsiv Vayomer HaMelech, Pasuk says, let's get the actual Vayomer HaMelech Vayei Ben Adonecha, that Vayomer Tziva El HaMelech Hine Yoshe B'Yerushalayim Ki Yomer Hayom Yashivu Li Beis Yisrael Asma Malchus Avi, that Tziva says that he's sitting in Yerushalayim waiting to be returned to the Malchus. So Minalan Dekablu Minei, so we know that's what Tziva said. How do we know that David accepted that from him? Tchsiv Vayomer HaMelech Hine Lecha Kol Asher L'Mephibosheth Vayomer Tziva Yishtachavisi Yemtzachin Beinei HaMelech, that right away David says, you know what, you could take everything that Mephibosheth owns. I hereby declare with my executive power as Melech that you could take everything. You, Tziva, now own everything that belongs to Mephibosheth. So you see that David accepted that Mephibosheth was being married by Malchus. Ushmuel Amar lo kibel David lashon hara. Shmuel says, no, David was not mekabel lashon hara. Dvarim haniskarim hanikarim chazabei. The reason David thought Mephibosheth was against him was not based on something Tziva had told him. It was based on something that David saw with his own eyes. What did he see? The Chassid Pasuk says, "Mephibosheth ben Shaul, Yar l'fnei Melech, lo asa raglav, lo asa svamo, v'es begadav lo kibes." That David saw Now, when he finally put down the rebellion of Avshalom, he saw Mephibosheth, and he looked like he was in mourning. He didn't; he was completely unkempt. He didn't get a haircut. He had dirty clothing, so it looked like he was in mourning. And David understood that to mean that Mephibosheth was upset that David took back the throne. In fact, Mephibosheth had been in mourning the entire time that David was being rebelled against, and he just hadn't had a chance to get a haircut yet. But that's how David interpreted it. So it wasn't that he was mekabel hashnara; he saw it with his own Avdi Rimani, my Eved deceived me. Meaning, don't believe everything Siva tells you. He says, I really wanted to come visit you, and my Eved went and threw me under the bus over here. I'm a full supporter. So David HaMelech says, stop talking. I already determined that you and Siva are going to have to split all your property. Let him take everything already. Once you're in peace, as long as you're okay, then I'm happy. I don't need anything else. So the way the Gemara is dashing is what he's really saying is, I was sitting here praying for you to be okay, David. I was davening that you should be okay, that you should be able to put down the rebellion of Avshalom. And this is how you treat me? You take away all my family's possessions? Lo alecha yeshli tarumas. The truth is, I don't have any tainas on you. El al misha v'yachu b'shalom. I have tainas on the Ribbono Shalom for allowing a person like you to be able to put down the rebellion and to be successful. Even if Moshe was pretty upset, but the way he spoke sounded like he wasn't being married in the malchus of David nearly as much as he was being married in the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that have v'yachu b'shalom. Haynu d'chsivu ben Yonasan meiriv ba'al. That Yonasan's son's name was Meiriv Baal. V'chi Meiriv Baal Shemo, v'alem Mephibosheth Shemo. Why does it say his name was Meiriv Baal? That wasn't his name. His name was Mephibosheth. El mitoch she'asa meriva im baalav, yatsa bas kovamelo, netze bar netze. That nitza bar nitza. That since he made a meriva, he made an argument with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's why the baskel came out and said he's a nitza bar nitza. Nitza hadi amran. Nitza is what we just referred to, that he questioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing David to come b'shalom. Bar nitza d'chsev v'yavar shol ad ir ha-malek v'yarav b'nachal. That he descended from Shaul HaMelech, who had gone to the city of Amalek, and he had quarreled with the idea of the Nachal, meaning he didn't like the idea of killing out all of Amalek. So that was Shaul's fatal mistake, that he didn't wipe out Amalek when he had a chance to, and as a result of that, the Melech Agag was able to have descendants who became the rest of Amalek. He was the last one alive. But what was the problem? Why did Shaul not kill out the Amalek? What was his problem with fulfilling the Tzivoy Hashem? So Amar Rabbi Mani al Iske Nachal. He had a time with the Kodesh Baruch Hu based on a halacha relating to a Nachal. What was the halacha relating to a Nachal? So Rashi explains, Uma al Nefesh Achas Amar Torah Havei Egla Arufa Benachal. If for one nefesh that we can't ascertain where the person died, how the person died, whose fault it was, we have to bring a whole Egla Arufa Nefashos Halalu. All these innocent Amalekis, the women, the children. How could I kill all these people out? Alachas kama v'kama. In gedolim chazu, katanim machatu. Granted, the adult males are the sinners. They're the ones that are trying to kill us. The women, the children. How could I wipe out the women and the children of Amalek? So it was Shaul HaMelech questioning the mitzvah to kill out Amalek. That was his rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what his grandson took after Mephibosheth when he questioned the Ribbono Shel Olam, putting David back in charge. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, B'shar Shamar David Mephibosheth, Atav Tziva Techlikua Sasada, when David said to Mephibosheth that you and Tziva are going to split your field, Yatsa Baskel Va'amrlo, Rechavim Yeravim Yechalku Asamalucha. A Baskel came out at that time and said, oh yeah, well, Rechavim and Yeravim are going to split the Malchus based David. The Malchus isn't going to stay in the base David. Yeravim is going to take a part of the Malchus. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ilmali Lo Kibel David Lashonara. So we see from here, had David not been Mekabel Lashonara, Lo Nech Machlokah Malchus Beis Tavon. The Malchus Beis Tavon would not have been split, and therefore what that led to was Avodah Zarah, and therefore Lo Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah. Had David HaMelech not accepted this Lashon Hara, the Jews never would have done Avodah Zarah, because once the Malchus was split, Yeravam had this terrible fear that if the Jews have to constantly go to Yerushalayim three times a year to be Olah L'Regel, and Yerushalayim was in Rechavam's portion, and they're going to see that Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara El Malchus Beis David Bilvad. The only person who's allowed to sit in the Azara is Malchus Beis David, is Rechavam. So they're going to see Rechavam gets to sit in the Azara and Yeravam doesn't. So it's going to be, they're not going to accept the Malchus of Yeravam if they're constantly running to Yerushalayim and they see the Beis HaMikdash functioning and they see how Rechavam is treated by the Beis HaMikdash. So Yeravam decided to set up his own golden calves, his own sort of system of places of worship in his own areas, and that was the Avodah Zarah. It was ironic that that's what he chose. He chose golden calves, if we don't have enough of a history with golden calves, but that's that he set up these alternate temples so that people won't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. That was the Avodah Zarah, and that happened all because David was Mekabel Lashon Hara, which led to him telling Mephibosheth and Siva to split the Sada, which is what caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make the Malchus split. So one thing led to another, and that of course led to the Galus once we were violating Avodah Zarah. This relates probably very much to the Gemara in Erech and Tezvav in the Lashon Hara Sugyas. The Gemara says Lashon Hara is Chamur Yosr Migimel Averus Chamurus Avodah Zarah Gilirai Shvichus Damim. That Lashon Hara on some level is worse than all three big Averus. Over here you see it in the Gemara that the Kabbalah Lashon Hara led directly to the Avodah Zarah. It led to war, which is Shvichus Damim, and everything happened all because of Lashon Hara, and we're in this terrible Galus because of Lashon Hara. So that's what the Rosh Yosef points out. He says we're Mu'masim Ba'ol V'Tzaros Harbe Mikol Makom Ishes Esachim Dokrim B'Lashonim, and yet we still don't learn our lesson. People are still speaking Lashon Hara. Kinas Ishmeri Ehu Ad Yirachim Hashem and Hashemayim Yav Mashiach Tzidkenu V'Yikum B'Lashonim Ein Ketz Amein. He says Halavai, we should get over the Lashon Hara, and then hopefully when Mashiach will come. Amram Shomer Nachmeni Amram Yonasan. Next person on the list of who didn't really sin. Kolam Shlomo Chateinu El Tomei. Anyone who thinks Shlomo sinned is mistaken. Shnemer V'Lohayu Levav Shalim V'Mashem Elokav Kilavav David Aviv. His heart wasn't shalim with Hashem like David's heart. Yeah, Kilavav David Aviv Udlohava Miftanami Lochata. It just wasn't like David, but it doesn't mean that he actually did an avera. So Rashi over here says, what does it mean that Kolam Shlomo Chateinu El Tomei Ba'Avodah Zarah? Anyone who thinks Shlomo did Avodah Zarah is mistaken. So Sfasemis is Nedayek. Yeah, but he did do other averas. He was Mar Ben Nashim. The Medrash Rabbah says in Ve'era that the Yud of Lo Yirba Lo Nashim came up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, you said Enos B'Tele Min HaTorah Li'Olam, that no letter in the Torah is ever going to be Batel. What about me? Lo Yirba Lo Nashim. And here's Shlomo Melech, and he's being Mar Ben Nashim. So that he did violate. It just means that he didn't do the Avodah Zarah. So Elamani Mekayim Ve'ilei Sikna Shlomo Nashim Vitu Aslevavah. So what do we do with the pasuk that says that his wives led his heart astray? Hayik Rabbi Nassan. That was assuming like Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan Rami. Rabbi Nassan asked the steer. Ksiv Vayilei Sikna Shlomo Nashim Vitu Aslevavah. Vaksiv Kilvav David Aviv Kilvav David Avu Dlo Avam Bichtanami Lochata. It's a steer between the pasukim. One pasuk implies that he followed the ways of his wives. The other pasuk implies that he just wasn't quite like David, but he was still a great tzaddik and he didn't sin. So Hachi Kamar. They tried to get him to follow. His wives tried to get him to follow in their ways, but he didn't. He didn't bite. He didn't take the bait. But doesn't the pasuk say that he built a bama for the Avodah Zarah of Moab? So says Mar Shabikesh Livnos Labana. He intended to build, but he didn't actually build it. So you're going to say the same thing whenever it says Oz Yivne, that someone built something. You're going to say that it always means Shabikesh. So when Yeshua was built a Mizbeach, you can say also that he intended to build a Mizbeach Lashem, but Yeshua never actually built a Mizbeach Lashem. So Ela Debana. No, obviously Yeshua did build it. Hachanami Debana. So Shlomo also probably built. Ela Kedetanya. Rather, the way to understand is like the following Brisa. Yosi Yomer. Vesabamas Asher al Pnei Yerushalayim Asher Yimin Lahar Mishka Asher Bana Shlomo Melech Yisrael La Asher Shikot Sidonim. The bamas that are described near Harazes and Har Mishka, which were made for the Shikot Sidonim, Efshar Ba'as of Lo Biram Yoshav of Lo Biram Atshba Yoshio Biram. Meaning this is the pasuk describing Yoshio Melech driving out all the Avodah Zarah. So is that possible? These are Avodah Zarahs that date back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and no one between Shlomo HaMelech and Yoshiyahu was mivar these avodah zaras. Asa and Yoshafa tried to be mivar every avodah zarah, and they would leave this around. V'alakol v'alakol v'shaber Yisrael asa v'yoshafa d'biyarum. Ela, what you have to say is makish rishonim l'achronim. Ma achronim lo asu v'tala ben l'shvach, af rishonim lo asu v'tala ben l'gnai. Just like the later generations, Yoshiyahu didn't actually do the destruction of these avodah zarahs, but still the pasuk describes it as if he did, to give him this extra shvach because he was mevar so many other avodah zarahs. So too, Shlomo didn't actually build these avodah zarahs, but they were attributed to him because he was not moche, didn't make a macha against his wives for having these avodah zarahs. So it's the pasuk attributing them to him, even though he didn't really do it. But doesn't pasuk say that Shlomo did the evil in the eyes of Hashem? But again, it's because he could have said something about it, and he didn't say anything about it, so we consider it as if he sinned. The Achronim asked the Kasha, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin that by the Avera of the Zara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'ani Shivanan Machshava. So what do you say about Shlomo Melech? A great defense for him is Shabike Shlomo Shalabana, that he intended to build and he didn't build. But according to the Gemara in Kiddushin, with Avodah Zarah, intention is just as bad as the act. So the Avas Eisan points out that the Shitas HaRash, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Perek Aleph Siman Vav, is what does it mean that you're punished for machshava avodah zarah? It means for machshava that you're mekabel the avodah zarah as a god, that you're mekabel Eloha. But if that's not the machshava, you just have a plan to build some sort of structure level zarah, but you're not actually mekabel the avodah zarah as a god, that you're not punished for the machshava. The machshava avodah zarah is only a machshava in the hashkafa that you view the avodah zarah as a god. Amr Avidor Meshmuel, Noach lelos a tzadik sheyishamish l'davar acher, v'al yichtav bo v'yasar abeinei Hashem. It would have been better for Shlomo HaMelech if he would have actually been a priest for an avodah zarah, rather than to have it written about him, that he did ra be'inei Hashem. That's the ultimate insult, that he did ra be'inei Hashem. Amr Avidor Meshmuel, b'shan shenos Shlomo's bas paro, when Shlomo HaMelech married bas paro, v'chnisa lo elf minei zemer, she brought in all sorts of musical instruments. V'amr lo, and she said, kachos n'avodah zarah. She started to teach him. This is how we worship this avodah zarah. This is how we worship that avodah zarah. V'lo michaba, and he didn't say anything. He just let her talk. So he didn't. He didn't protest. Amar Avidom Shmuel, b'shas shenasa Shlomo's bas paro. When Shlomo married bas paro, Yorah Gavriel v'natz kana b'yam va'alabo sirtun va'lav nimna krach gadol shel romi. Gavriel, the Malach, came down, stuck a reed in the sea, and a sandbank formed, and on that spot, it was the Krach Gadol Shel Romi was built on that spot, meaning it all resulted from Shlomo marrying Bas Paro. Masnisa Tana, Osa Yom Shechnes Yeravim Shnei Egle Zahav, Echad Bebesel, Echad Bedan, Nivnat Srif Echad Vizeu Italia Shel Yavan. The day that Yeravim set up the two Egle Zahav that we referred to before, one in Besel and one in Dan, so that people wouldn't travel to Yerushalayim and wouldn't travel to Rechavim's area, so a small hut was built, and that ultimately grew into Italia Shel Yavan. Amrav Shor Bar Nachmeni, Amrav Yerushan. Kolomer Yoshiyahu Chata Einu Elatara. Anyone who thinks Yoshiyahu, now the Yoshiyahu one is different than all the others. Everyone else that we said Chata, it's where the Navi specifically referred to an Avera that they had done, or the Chumash in the case of Ruve, specifically referred to an Avera that they had done. By Yoshiyahu, we don't have any specific reference to an Avera. All we have is a reference to Tshuva. Now Tshuva implies a previous sin. So that's the question. Did he really sin that he then had to do Tshuva, or do we assume he never sinned? But we don't have any specific accusations against him. So anyone who says Yoshiyahu did a sin is only mistaken. Shenemar vayas hayasher b'nei Hashem vayelech b'chol derech David aviv, that he followed completely in the ways of David. Elamani mekayim kamo lo hay lefanav melech asher shav. What do I do with the pasuk that says that there was no bal tshuva like Yoshiyahu? Sounds like it was all about tshuva. Shekol dayin shadon mi ben shmona ve'ad shmona esrei hechziron lahen, that any dayin that was done from the age of or any din that he was done from the age of 8 until the age of 18, he reversed the judgment. So Shema Tomer Natal Mizev Nasal, you might think that he took away from the people that were already awarded the money and gave it back to the other people. No, Tamlomer B'chol Ma'odo Shenasla Mishalom, that tshuva doesn't mean he did tshuva for an avera. It means he reversed something. What did he reverse? All these court cases that were judged between the age of 8 and 18, because he realized afterwards, as Rashi points out, Chilkiah found a certain sefer where they'd had a diuk that from from the Torah that you're not allowed to dan at such a young age. So that's why he reversed all the dinei Torah and he paid for it out of his own pocket. But that's what it means, tshuva in that sense. Torah writes in Chasam Mishpat Siman Zayin that a katan is possible to be dan. And he has shtei saras as well. You need to be 18 years old. Where do we learn that from? From Hadar Mishmuel called Din Shedon Yoshiyomi Ben Shmona Yom Ad Ben Shmona Esrei Hechzel Bailov. That everything, every din that he was done until he turned 18, he was Machzel Bailov. So the priest explains, even though when it comes to Eidos, when you, as soon as you're Bar Mitzvah, you kashal the Eidos. Eidos is reporting what you saw. Dayanus is judgment calls, and that you need to be a little bit more mature. It's not good enough to just be a gadol and a bar chiyuv in mitzvahs. You need to be a little bit older. The Aruch HaShulchan says, though, in Sif Gimel, it's a chumra bi'alma, that midin Torah, as soon as you have shtei saros, you could already be a dayan. Pischei tshuva kotz v'mishkanos Yaakov, maybe we should be a little more machmir. Wait till a person is 20 years old before he's appointed a dayan. Okay, these are the different shitas. Back in the Gemara, pliga de Rav, this is all against Rav. Dama Rav, in lecha gadol bali tshuva yosrim Rav said that the greatest Bali Tshuva ever were Yoshio in his generation and one guy in our generation, Umanu, who's the one guy? Abba Avuad Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Abba, the father of Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. V'armila Acha Achua da Abba Avuad Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Some say it was his brother Acha. Damar Ma, Rabbi Abba ve'acha Achi Havu. Rabbi Abba and Acha were brothers. Amar Rav Yosef Vodech B'Dareinu, there's another one in our generation, Umanu Ukvan Bar Nechemya Reish Galusa. Ukvan Bar Nechemya the Reish Galusa. V'hainu Nasan de Tzutzis. And that's the famous Nasan de Tzutzisa. There's a famous medrash about Nasan de Tzutzisa that he had typhus for a certain woman, and it was ongoing years and years that he wanted her, and she finally presented herself to him, and he overcame his yetzer hara, and he had this shine that glowed from his forehead, from his face because of this, and he became a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. The medrash says so. That was Nasan de Tzutzisa, his great bal tshuva. Amar Rav Yosef Avi Yisivna Bepirka Vavakam Menamneim VeChazay BeChilma De Kapashat Yad Vikiblei, that I was sitting in the shir and I was dozing off, and I saw in a dream that his tshuva was mekubal, that the malach was poshit yado, stretched out his hand and was mekabel the tshuva of Nasan de Tzutzisa. That's why he's the great bal tshuva. Tomorrow we'll start Bamei Isha Yotzeh.